Let's officially commence this conversation in our new
morning. Start recording
and we drop David people.
Jump off.
Right. Somebody crashed.
Uh-oh.
Well, yes, without the religious high days to be governing our lives, I lose all sense. I'm thinking more and more of how they didn't really arouse anything in me as far as really knowing Jesus. What it aroused in me is more piety, more spiritual piety, and more sanctimonious feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
And to some degree, that was helpful.
That was good. Yeah.
You felt better about yourself, family. Yeah. There was a measure of happiness. But it, as I wrote in my little email, it steered me off in many ways. It distracted me from the real understanding, not only of personal relationship, but what really is the body. I learned that Christianity was my subservience, not only vocationally, but to a organization and not to really Jesus. It was couched in, okay, if you're submitted and you're part of this congregation, then you're submitted to Jesus. Well, I realized I didn't need the intermediary, the church. I didn't, the organization. That I could learn and know Jesus without that. Now I'm trying to rediscover not only who I am in Christ, but what is the body? I never learned really what the body, and there was semblances of it. There was language about it. There was this talk about we need each other and you need to be in a group. But those groups were, as I look back, and I was the administrator, director, teacher of groupology. I didn't have a sense of really what was true body. Because again, it was all top-down command. Here's your study. Here's your leader. Here's how you meet. All those things were dictated, and there was conformity. How dare we let little people gather together and call themselves a group of, a body of Christ? Because they weren't under the authority.
You had to. New Hope was focused on community.
Mm-hmm.
And which really kind of lost the whole concept of the body of Christ, I think.
Yeah.
And it was a forced community.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing really natural about it.
No. Mm-hmm. No. And for some people, they could fall in line. Mm-hmm. I should say most people could fall in line because they were used to being told or directed as to, here's what you do and here are the parameters and you conform and you fit and you did the best. And a lot of people appreciated it because it became their really only good fellowship that they knew.
Yeah, on the upside of it, the positive of it, was it did show that it's what people crave. They want that community. They want that togetherness. But there wasn't a whole lot of natural about it.
No, I agree, Dave. Yeah. Natural in the sense that you didn't feel authorized to connect with the others outside of the schedule. Outside of the appointed time for the meeting, you didn't think of yourselves as connected with other people outside of that particular environment.
Yeah, I think where I really started to understand and get a glimpse of the church body was when I was working with the college students. Okay. I start working with Jack and the college ministry, and it was interesting because I didn't start to develop relationships with these kids till about the 6 month mark. I would show up every Sunday or every meeting that they had, the one on Sunday, the one during the week, and I would stand in the back. And I would watch, I would listen. I would have very short conversations with kids. I'd come up, say hi. We would introduce ourselves. That was about it. But at about the 6 month mark, I started having young men come to me and said, hey, can we meet? Can we talk? And who was it? One of the guys there, because I was asking, I said, it took 6 months for me to build relationships with you guys. And they said, well, we've had a lot of people come to volunteer, but they leave after about 3 months because they couldn't establish relationships.
Yeah.
He said, but you've been here 6 months, so we figured you're serious. You want to get to know us. Okay. And that's when I started to sense that all of this has to be natural. And every one of the young men and young women that I ended up building a relationship with all came about because they came to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't go after any of them. The young women, I did not mentor the way I mentored the men. They would ask to sit with me. It was more of a father figure kind of thing. Whereas the young men, we would spend a couple hours a week talking, doing Bible study, whatever, at my sanctuary at Starbucks.
Exactly. The unauthorized church.
Yeah, unauthorized church. So, but the thing about the small groups was, yeah, you found one that fits your schedule, but the true relationships like I had with the college kids never came out of it. Like you said, Dennis, we met at the weekly meeting, but outside of that, you know, if we bumped into each other at church, that was about it.
Here's an observation that I made many times with people in the groups. We would talk about the level of their relationship to each other. I would ask people, are you guys connecting with each other during the week? And I would invariably find, not really. We look forward to meeting, you know, this time each week. I said, but okay, are there people during the week that you're connecting with? Oh yeah, no, I have a good friend at work that we talk hours. I would find that conversation repeated many, many times. And it made me wonder, just as you're saying, Dave, why is this group then important? You already have a relationship with someone that means more to you and is trusted and you're sharing with. How is this I was trying to observe, okay, what really were people after? They were coming to this kind of a fake group relationship, but their real relationships were oftentimes in other places. But because they weren't sanctified or considered under the authority, they wouldn't talk about them that much. You guys find that true? Did you ever find a real deep relationship within a authorized group?
No, I have a story actually.
Oh.
So I was craving it. This was during within the first 2 years that we moved here, and I didn't have any friends. David traveled Monday through Friday. Sam was really young. And they had those the women's meetings, and then we would meet, like you'd split up, everyone would be at a separate round table, and there would be a facilitator at every table. Mm-hmm. And you, there would be a speaker, but then you would talk within your own little table. And I was going through a really hard time, as you remember, like with his brother and sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. And just,
sure.
And I just was really down this one day, but I went all the time because I just craved developing relationships. And I was at my table was the pastor's wife. You remember the young one?
Mm-hmm.
And she never said a word to me. And afterwards I just left because there was no one to talk to. And I went, I remember crying on the way home, and your wife called me, Shirley called me. She's like, friend, I'm just checking on you because little birdie told me you seemed real down. And it was just like, that was so New Hope. It's like, oh no, it's not her place to reach out to me. And I was sitting at the same table as her, but she'll call your wife. Mm-hmm. To say something to me, like, you might want to say something to her. It just was so, that's just a perfect example of how it was.
Good illustration, Beth. I'd forgotten that, but it is so, that was so true. Yeah, it and you were expected somehow, or I don't know, the theory was that you would find meaningful relationships within those little groups, those table groups, and those would become very, very close and connected for you. But you're like probably a good 50% or more of the women who walked out of there thinking, well, that was nice, but I don't know these ladies. Yeah, and we could say it for the guys too, couldn't we? We tried to do that same thing with guys, Dave. You know, we set them into groups and table leaders. You were a table leader.
Yeah, the groups were superficial.
Mm-hmm.
There was no real honesty coming out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really in depth. because the time it takes to build a true relationship didn't occur in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've mentioned, Dennis, it had to occur outside the group.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could build trust one-on-one. Maybe an exception to that for me was the Wednesday morning group that I met with for years. There, the men felt connected. They felt safe enough to where they could be honest. That, for me, was the most honest group and best group.
Mm-hmm.
That I had ever been part of.
Yeah. Okay.
But these guys had been meeting for years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And their focus genuinely was on Christ. And they were hungry to go deeper.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand that I had a conversation with Tom Willie this week. Because I would like to go over there and reconnect with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the group has disbanded.
Oh, they have. Oh,
yeah. But he's going to try to get them all together so we can reconnect and nobody goes to hell. So
we wouldn't want to lose you to hell.
That's right. That's right. You know, but anyway, it was outside of the, or next to the college group and the relationships I built from there, that was a good body.
Yeah.
So Dennis, through one of your groups, I developed a really good friendship with the couple we met at your house.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the way that friendship developed, it wasn't like you guys are saying meeting together, it was doing everything outside of the group,
right?
Hunting or whatever, it, just hanging out and getting to know a person that way.
Mm-hmm. At one point I played with the idea of somehow abandoning our authorized list and structures, and just tried to put on paper or somehow identify all of these affinities that were out there, all these little affinity groups, and really go there rather than try to maintain the artificial or superficial, as you say, Dave, that structure, and identify where people really were in trusted, safe, personal, deep relationships, and identify those and go with those. I would have felt we were much more genuine in terms of how people are naturally connecting, how the body was naturally forming. But of course, go ahead, Dave.
But then it can be clicky too.
That's true.
You've got like outliers like me, new person, mm-hmm. who I didn't fit in any group, and mm-hmm. I was the hungriest of all, but you know, yeah. no one touched me.
Yeah. We made a valiant effort, and as I look back on it, some things worked. I think more things did, but on the same side, we tried. We thought we were doing what we were supposed to do.
Weren't you basically doing what you'd been trained to do?
That's it, Dave. It was the training. It was the model. It was the it was the systemization of the body, and we were doing the best. And we thought this is the Acts 2020 model, but we didn't know how to really back off and let God do it. Mm-hmm. Something Wayne Jacobson said years ago in one of his writings that I'll never forget. When are we going to learn we cannot manufacture community? It's not our job. But that's what the church has taken on. The organized church has taken it on as their responsibility. That was my responsibility. That was my specific role, professional role, was to manufacture community.
You know,
I learned you can't do it.
Well, what's kind of ironic is that New Hope pushed the experiencing God, mm-hmm. which was a phenomenal study.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't get it.
No, they didn't. No, they treated it like any other 40-day journey, yeah. and then we went on to the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What I have a yearning for now is to really see even our little community develop. No, it's not our task, but to somehow recognize or to know where we are connected, what our natural, or I should say spiritual affinities really are. Now, to some level, we're connecting in this environment, but I'm not sure this is totally sufficient. And it's going to take a lot of conversation for us to really see this. I'm sure in my mind how this all plays out, how it works out. Zoom, this meeting has been really instrumental in building a certain level of this, or arriving at it, I should say. All right. Here again, I want to back off of any idea that we're doing this. We're manufacturing this next community. No, this is our Lord's task. I will build the church, Jesus says. And we always thought, okay, that meant as long as we put Jesus' name on it, then he was doing it. Well, no, we still had to get our fingers out of it. So what I'm trying to say is, where is God leading this conversation? And what are we realizing is the next level? Are you hearing?
Yes. Something, talking to a friend, mm-hmm. he doesn't participate in this group. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is because it's recorded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he likes what's said. He likes the, you know, interaction and learning stuff, but he doesn't feel that people or himself would truly share everything or anything about himself,
right?
Because it's being recorded and it's going to be on YouTube or whatever. And so then also when you're able to speak like that, then you get more relational, like you're talking about. And I'll, to be honest, there has been times where I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to say anything because I don't want everybody to know. Not that, like we were talking about this yesterday, Beth and I, she's like, well, there's not a lot of people that follow this on YouTube anyways, but.
Arnold, can I share a tidbit of our conversation from this week?
Of course, David.
Arnold and I had an interesting conversation this week, and in lines of what you're asking, Dennis, Arnold and I were going to start writing down questions that we have.
Okay.
And we were going to email them to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we all start throwing out some questions that are on things that we're struggling with or things we'd like to try to find answers to, that may contribute to taking this group to that new level you're looking for.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah. Andy and Chrissy would say, how can you make it practical? And Beth and I talk about what's practical. How do you apply it to your everyday life?
Exactly. Yeah.
Rather than saying, well, that person just doesn't know who they really are. That, you know, they don't know that Jesus is in them and they're just acting different. Well,
David brings up a good point about the recording. If the recording of this is keeping some people away, maybe we consider not recording it.
Yes. I've wondered that myself as well.
Or at least not posting it.
Yes. It can be listed as private and only be available to certain people or by invitation. And that if that's the direction we want to go, David Fundak, in answer to your question, it is surprising the number of people who are followers who are picking the recordings up and watching us.
Really?
Yeah, I. it's kind of satisfying in one way and scary in another. It's you wonder, okay, what are these people walking away with, or what are, you know, are they able to? This is just a slice. Are they getting, you know, have any idea of the whole span of our conversation? So, yeah. Okay. Going back to your point, David Fulton, it may well be that to go to another level here, real honesty and sharing, which we've done before. You recall we did with some of the COVID questions. We didn't publicize those. There was one at least in which we made private, and I'm not opposed to that at all if we would like to do that.
Besides, I miss Beth not asking questions that make my head hurt.
she is good at that.
Absolutely.
You know, I've kind of missed that. So.
Yes. No, I let's consider that. I think that's a real worthwhile step. And then we can say to someone, well, I haven't seen you or I'd be interested in what you're talking about. Then you could say, well, okay, here's the link.
Mm-hmm.
And we can somehow vet or, you know, get a feel for where the person's interest really is.
Mm-hmm.
That may well be.
If I could say something about David, since you brought it up, I think there is a sense of community coming out, at least for me. For example, Julie and I have talked, you know, Beth and Dave, you know, if we live closer, we'd invite you to our house and get to know you better. Same with Dawn and David. David gave me a call after one of the calls about a month ago and just followed up a little bit on a couple of things. And we've had, what, David, probably four phone calls since.
Beautiful.
What we're doing is kind of asking ourselves to dig in a little deeper to some things that we're wondering about this whole thing. Where does the Old Testament fit? Mm-hmm. What about the concept of hell? Where is it real? And what is Satan's role? Things of that nature. What about seven levels of heaven? And that's particularly the third level, you know? How do we interpret the Old Testament? And generally, we see it as a example of God showing us what it's like to try to do it man's way to get close to God. But there's a whole lot of, you know, was Moses or Abraham real when he took his trip, you know, his whole family? And how much should we take as literal? Anyway, the point is that we've started just naturally having a relationship, and correct me, David, but outside of these Sunday morning Zoom calls. I believe that will grow.
That's exciting. That's where I would hope this level of conversation would lead, that at the next level, natural, unorganized, but there are relationships that are occurring and are enduring, going on. That's to me closer to what I'm realizing is the true body of Christ. Because you are at a personal level, safe, and you're speaking into one another. You're feeling a connectedness.
Well, and a commonality.
Right.
If any community, they have a commonality together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this case, we have a commonality of searching out and learning what does Jesus and us mean? Who is Jesus? You know?
So this is what I was referring to back in my days of leading groups.
Yeah.
I would say to guys, yes, the surface level is helpful. Attend all you can. But where are you really? We used to say in men's context, where is the guy at 3 a.m. that you could call? That was the language we used for guys. You know, where's the 3 a.m. guy? Do you have a 3 a.m. guy that you connect with? That's where I was really hoping the guys were finding connection. Unauthorized, off the screen, not controlled, but was the most powerful and meaningful. And my dream is, at least in my heart, is that that's where I would hope this level would go. I'm all for also getting into some of the more practical stuff in this environment, but I've realized this environment only can go so far, and that there's another level, and even levels deeper than that, where it is so personal and so relational. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I've been touched with this idea of how many times we pray for answers, how many times we go to God and say, God, please, I need help or understanding, whatever. And we never see that could possibly be answered. within the context of a two or three people that we're intimately connected with. And what I mean by that, your answer is probably right there in a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom, maybe a sense of a prophetic word. We miss that. And that's what I'm talking about in terms of the organized church. It could never occur in that environment. It tried to say it was the answer, but it never could suffice. And people would go out of there, oh, God just doesn't answer my prayers. And I feel so lonely. I feel this or that. I don't understand. Because there was not that deep affinity somewhere with a trusted partner or partners in Christ, the body, each of each other, where there was listening, speaking, and a real deep connectedness with someone who was the exact answer. How many times have you found something you really needed to understand came through a friend at an off moment, and you thought, wow, how come I never heard that in church? How come I never got that answer, you know, from pastor? do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have a friend like that right now.
Yeah.
Totally. Just talking to him, or me talking to him, saying stuff to me, or me saying something to him. And the Spirit just touches each of us. And it's not like we're speaking directly to them. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's just some kind of word comes out that he gives me. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a answer to prayer, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I say something and respond. And he's like, wow, that really makes me think about this, how what I'm doing in this part of my life with whatever it is, work or family.
Wow. Yeah.
It's really cool.
And that's what I'm talking about, Dave, is the real, that's what I'm saying is the real body in operation. Now, it doesn't sound like a body, but in a sense it is. It's members connecting. And
on a larger level, though, not one or two people like, you know, Fulton was meeting with, and, you know, because I'm sure, David, you had that kind of connection as well in meeting with those guys.
Okay, maybe I didn't quite catch your point. Are you saying that?
Saying you want it to be in a larger context where people are together and...
No. Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting it needs to be of any size. However, I think the more members are only the more opportunity to hear more of the giftings, if you understand. And I'm not suggesting that just two people can't operate on all of those giftings. Maybe I need to help you understand where I'm coming from here. I remember the graph or the little meme or illustration I sent this week. You looked at that?
Yes.
Yeah. And you've seen that before. We used to use that a lot. I talked about it last week. I think that is a beautiful illustration of life. And when something is occurring in any one of us or we're a part of, how important it is to be able to hear those various perspectives and be able to glean from someone else's giftedness or motivation. So can that occur with two people? Absolutely. I think two people can function in a lot of these different points, whatever is needed. At the same time, it also can occur in a very intimate group. I don't know what the size is. Excuse me, four or five. I don't know. I don't think it's very large at all, but you just more perspectives come into play. Is that making sense? Am I talking off in space here?
Yes.
Makes sense.
It makes sense.
Okay. So that's what you're doing with your friend is awesome. How many of us don't get to that level, though?
Yeah, it's hard to get to that level. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Developing trust.
Oh, yeah.
Just having a safe place.
Mm-hmm. It's also making the commitment to stay connected.
Right.
And that's hard. That's hard with everybody's busy schedules.
The consistent.
But once that commitment is made, then that's where the trust is built. And even like now, a couple of guys that I used to talk with weekly, it's now very sporadic. We might not talk for months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because of the changes in life. Okay. They're all in the guys that I most connected with are in different states. Okay. One's in Utah, one's there. Well, one's just on the other side over in the Seattle area. Actually, two of them are over that way. But the connection is still there, even though it's not a weekly thing. But the reason the connection is still there was because we had the opportunity years ago to work one-on-one. I mean, both of these, or all three of these guys, were guys I met in the college group. Okay, and this goes back to 2004 when I met these guys. And we're still in contact because we had the opportunity to build that trust. We
yeah.
met weekly face to face at Starbucks.
Yeah. yeah.
But
perfect environment.
You know, and so it has built a lasting relationship. I will get calls from them from time to time with questions. You know, what about I was reading in whatever book and what does this mean? So the body of Christ that we're looking for is going to span the whole world.
Mm.
Some of the most important lessons I learned in Africa.
Mm.
I learned in Serbia. I learned in India. Okay. From people who are part of the body of Christ. So, we cannot sell short the importance of these Zoom meetings. Okay, can it go deeper? It'll go as deep as we want it to. Okay, it will go as deep as we're comfortable with. Would it be wonderful to sit down and see you guys face to face? Absolutely. And I'm hoping that happens sometime this summer. When I come over to save the men's group from hell, you know, I want to meet with you guys too. So. So, anyway.
Yes.
I think, you know, the body of Christ is so large. And the answers, or even answers to questions we didn't know we had, will be answered. I mean, that happened with me in Africa. I didn't know I had these answers, or I didn't know I had these questions, but it was stuff I needed to know.
So this Sunday morning environment, Zoom meeting, provides maybe a launching pad, as it were, a stepping platform from which people can launch out into different, deeper relationships. That's how I'm seeing it.
Yes.
And this is informative. It's helpful. It provides a conversation of learning and developing a realization of God at a certain level, but I am really excited to hear how this is going to the next level. As you guys are, as you and David, as you and Arnold, and whoever else is connecting, David with your friend, whoever else of you and others are finding that next level.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Morning.
That's the goal. Because at that level is where you really, I feel, are hearing and being touched. The members of each other, the connectivity that where you're hearing God in a really personal level. And speaking into your heart. So, yay, you guys go. Let's do it. Go ahead.
Even the stuff we discuss here, whether they're questions that we get answers to or they're questions we don't get answers to, or they're comments that someone makes, I have found extremely helpful in conversations with other people. Because other people have the same questions we're asking.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this group is a great place for learning, going deeper, and from time to time inspires conversation with other people.
Mm-hmm. 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 And that's exciting to me to see, as I say, this as simply a platform for deeper conversations that are not appropriate at this level or that can't be dealt with at this level, let's say. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how exciting it is. Kuntzes will be watching this later, and I just will say now, I know from their standpoint, they are eager to find, and some of you probably already know this in conversations with them, they're eager to find this level. As they've told us, it's been difficult for them to just drop into any other organized setting and be able to feel or know their place. I was with Shirley and I were with our oldest grandson and his wife last night, and it was really, really neat because we had not been with him prior to COVID, and their little boy is now 2 going on 4. He is amazing. So I'm bragging, I know, but anyway, it was a question. Okay, guys, are you connected into a body? Oh, yeah, yeah. We found, and they had been looking quite a while, but they had found a little group, and he was almost embarrassed to say, but it's only like 25 to 50 people. And I said, oh, Alex, that's perfect. And within walking distance of their little house and meeting it in an old church, I guess, but it's not really, you know, it's not really there somehow, but that was their meaningful place of connection. And what was surprising to me, when they didn't feel safe or whatever during COVID, one of them would go and the other, the little child and the other spouse would stay home and then rotate. So that, okay, that tells me you're really, really desirous, okay, to try to find that level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to connect in. So it's there. It's in each of us, all of us. Will we go there? There's a lot of obstacles, though. Someone mentioned if we're willing to go there. But some of the barriers that occur are there in our own, you know, whatever it's emotional hurts or feelings that guard us from getting close to other people.
Yeah.
Those have to be dealt with or worked through. And it isn't often you can find another person that was willing to help you work through those things. I think we all can attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
So should we continue? We'll record, but should we be, why don't we just say, anyone open to say, hey, can we go off record here? And we'll just, yeah, then we'll make the recording unofficial, unpublicized.
Right. How many people, I guess they're not following, but how many people are watching the videos? You said you'd be surprised how many people.
we're not talking large numbers, Dave, but I go it once in a while, and I don't try to get too interested in this because it can throw you off. But I've gone into the YouTube, have what they call analytics, and you can see how far your reach is in terms of people clicking or watching. And I was staggered to know that, what was it I mentioned in my last couple of months ago, in the last email or letter, there was something like, and I hesitate to even make the numbers now, but it was something like 100 views in a period of 3 months or something like that. Don't quote me because I'm not sure, but I can go back and get those numbers if you want. It was a staggering number to me. That, what? And that just shows you the what is potentially there. That's why a lot of people are trying to maximize that reach, you know, for whatever their economic gain or monetizing their ministries or their own little thing.
Well, to keep you from getting too puffed up over the numbers,
yes,
50% of those views are mine. So
he likes the reruns.
Yeah. Yes, I recognize that's true. Yeah. So, Dave, I don't know, to be specific, the numbers are not huge, but I would say a couple hundred people, maybe. And that's fluid. They're not all consistent. Same time. It's over a period of months.
And those are individual, different people, not the same person, like Mr. Bolton.
Yeah, you're right.
call me on my lie. That's all right.
Well, I dug into this, Chris, because when Chrissy and Andy were saying that they binged on all of the previous ones, I thought, okay, I want to see if that was recorded. Well, I realized they were only part of a greater number that had been doing the same. And that's where I was surprised at. So there is a following, and okay, God, whatever he can, I know he's using it. For instance, Chris and Annie have told me about some friends that are connecting in Germany and in other places. Their reach through their YouTube is then the interface, the connection of their relational connections now is overlapping and connecting with this. So you see there's this myriad of interconnectivity going on out there. And the web is mind-boggling, you know, the power that and the opportunity that's there.
So I'd like to go on record from my perspective. It doesn't bother me that it's being videoed. Mm-hmm. For example, I wouldn't go into something on this kind of conversation of detail. Let's say, for example, I was in deep financial trouble banking was an issue and fraud and stuff. I wouldn't bring it up in this setting. But if I was having hypothetically a surgery and some recovery, you know, that thank you guys for being concerned and interested. But I don't care if that were to be seen in Brussels. Yeah.
Or on John Brennan's computer screen.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll just sense the leading there, however it happens on any given Sunday morning, somebody has something, you know, I'd like to open up here, but could we, you know, put it off the record? And we either pause or we decide, hey, let's continue for posterity and just don't publish that. So we've got those options, right?
Sure.
But at the same time, what is really, as I said, powerful in my mind is the fact that it's going to the next level. It's going to the unpublished, unrecorded level, which is so powerful, so authentic. And I don't mean this critically, but even as we talk, as someone said, you know, we're not fully free here. There's still a little posing going on because we want to look our best. We want to come across as knowledgeable. Yeah, we have some wits. But when we get out of the recorded level and get to that real level, yeah, off come the masks and off come the, you know, the posing, and we are free. That's the level that I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. Okay. And to some degree, I'm hoping that can occur in physical meetings. Now, we do have the, you know, each of you have the element of Zoom and other ways to do that. But boy, as people are able to sit together with one-on-one, as David attests to all those years, and I do too, those were powerful building, relational building times. And phone calls were fine. Zoom is fine, but there's still nothing that will take place face-to-face.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but you have to be in the presence, physical presence of a person to feel their emotions. And okay. Yeah.
Well, I for one think there, I don't want to discount the value of what we've learned together about using Zoom. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think David and Dawn would be on my radar screen outside of this kind of thing. But yeah. When I'm around saying, you know, if we were closer to them, or if we were in the Spokane area, we would get together with them, and part of that discussion would be, what about this thing about this getting to know Jesus thing, you know?
Absolutely.
So
and when we talk about that possibility for all of us, is it looking more, Arnold, like those dates are going to work?
Yeah, I just have to firm up and give you guys a date that will be we can get together.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to know that, because sooner or better, I have the options for reserving like a center here for us. I haven't checked, but sooner I know for sure, I could put a bid on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. David and I met this last week, and it prompted me to, we'll get some information. But
okay.
And then, you know, the value of, once you get something in your calendar, then it becomes real.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, I so much look forward to it. And just an open time of fellowshipping. I don't even know what it all would look like. Maybe half a day together, maybe a dinner together. I don't know. But we'll see how that Lord leads us.
Well, I'll throw something out. You know, we last time we were in Portland last summer, we had a family get together, and we were trying to figure out how to get people together. And it was August, a nice August evening. We all went to Laurelhurst Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was food involved, and the kids came, and but it was a place where we could get together and sit around picnic table. And,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But that doesn't have to be that kind of setting, but they're somebody's backyard, you know.
Yeah. What I envision is there's a wonderful little rec center here that's tied to our HOA, and it has a pool and room for about 25 people.
Oh, sure.
It has a little, you can't cook there, but there's a kitchen area to warm things and plate up food and so forth. Wonderful. Yeah. I'm going to see if we can get it. So that's the sooner I know the dates, the better I can lock in something for us. And that's one place. There's, I'm sure, many others.
But I was just saying that there is such value in what we've learned together, at least for me. I'll take my learn together on these Sunday Zoom calls now going on over 2 years.
Yeah. amazing to me.
So thank you all for that.
God, I appreciate you guys tracking with me. Just showing up on Sunday mornings and wanting to enter into the conversation. It's been fun and exciting. I know that I tend to want to domineer it, and I apologize for that. It's not my, hopefully, I don't want to make it my platform.
That doesn't bother me because it gives us a kind of a informal leader, you know, that we get us on topic. And if we go off topic, that's fine too. And you've allowed that many times, you know.
Wherever the Lord is leading us, exactly. Well, then I hear everyone is, at least those present today, are saying next Sunday is a go. You're not going to be having to forfeit your reservation at Shenanigans. if I had all that money spent on brunches over the years, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
But they were fun. They were great. You know, you went, it was festive, it was part of the environment. So anyway, we'll...
Okay, well, thanks, y'all.
Yeah, have a great week. Whatever Holy Week means to you, let Jesus be real in your life. All right?
Thanks, Tim.
All righty, all. Have a good week, all.
Take care.
Bye-bye.